Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tim Burgess. I'm Probate Judge Commission Chairman in Cherokee County. First of all, today, I want to send out my heartfelt condolences to the families who have lost loved ones in this accident that occurred yesterday. And I'm also wanting everyone to know that our hearts and our prayers go out to the children that are affected and those that are taking care of them and treating them. We are certainly praying for them and everything that is happening with them and those people that are the ones that are responsible for their caretaking right now. And let me just say this too before I turn it over to EMA Director Sean Rogers, that I want to tell you how sincerely thankful I am to our first responsibles in our county, those who are always ready to answer the call. We had multiple agencies involved in this yesterday. There's a list of them, and I'm sure that EMA Director Rogers will be discussing that in just a few moments. And also to our friends in Piedmont, who were very helpful in this situation as well. We want to tell them how much that we appreciate them leaving their homes. Their families support them in the work that they do, and we're very much appreciative in the job that they do for our county. And now I'm going to turn it over to EMA Director Sean Rogers.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Judge. I want to start off by saying, reiterating what the judge said about our first responders. It was a very difficult scene yesterday. There was a lot of challenges that we had. It was in a very remote area. The communications was struggling. We had some outages with cellular providers that slowed down us being able to communicate with each other effectively. But all in all, as far as the first responder side goes, I think it went as well as it could. As the judge mentioned earlier, our condolences are with those who are suffering from the losses and those who were injured during the accident. I'm going to go through this and detail some information or provide some details on what happened so we make sure that we have the facts and everybody is provided that information at the same time. We've received numerous requests for interviews and live interviews and Zoom calls and things like that. So we decided to go live on Cherokee County EMA's Facebook page. I believe this going on the Sheriff's Office as well, Cherokee County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, and then our media partners who are here with us. yesterday, just before 4 p.m., Cherokee 911 received a call or multiple calls from the ATV park down on County Road 8 reporting a ATV accident or a side-by-side accident. At first, we didn't know the number of patients. First responders got on scene within about 18 minutes from the time of dispatch to provide those details so we could get everything in motion to get the resources to the scene as quickly as we could. Now keep in mind, from the time of dispatch, 18 minutes till our first responders made it to the crash site in a very remote area that is a lot of trails and rough terrain. So 18 minutes is pretty remarkable for that area. Once they got on scene, they provided information to Piedmont Rescue, who were en route, and multiple helicopters were called. Once they Piedmont Rescue arrived on scene, they made the determination to request additional helicopters. A total of four were dispatched to the scene and flew three juveniles, three children, and one adult female to trauma centers in Birmingham. Piedmont Rescue then requested mutual aid from Atrium Floyd Cherokee EMS. They responded with two units and provided assistance to Piedmont Rescue. In total, the ambulances transported four patients to Floyd Medical Center, or Atrium Floyd Medical Center in Rome, Georgia. Fire personnel made sure that the scene was safe for all four helicopters to land. They provided critical assistance to EMS on getting those patients to the helicopters for them to be life-flighted. Once we determined, kind of what all was going on scene, we requested the sheriff's office to respond to conduct a thorough investigation so we would know exactly what happened, since it's involving so many children and, at the time, one fatality. The female that was flown to Birmingham to the trauma center later succumbed to her injuries, and at that time the sheriff's office was notified of the second fatality. Right now we don't have any updates on any of the patients that are at the hospital. We don't know any of the statuses of those. We'll try to find that out later on this afternoon or even tomorrow, but right now we don't have any update on those. I'm going to turn it over to the sheriff and let him talk about what his office done as part of the investigation and looking into the facts surrounding the scene.
Hello, I'm Cherokee County Sheriff Jeff Shaver, and like our judge said, we send our thoughts and prayers to these families that have been affected. Our office responded to this incident, and our investigators responded along with the officers. We conducted and are still conducting an investigation to determine the facts as to what caused this accident. It appears that the deceased driver was operating a razor, and according to witnesses, at a high rate of speed, he struck another razor who tried to avoid him, left the roadway, overturned and struck a tree. And at that time, it just became the rest of the investigation. So I'll turn to Paul McDonald, Corman.
I'm Paul McDonald. I'm the coroner, Cherokee County, Alabama. You have the preliminary information. That's the press release, that the information that I'm providing. If you have any specific questions, I'll try to answer them. Does anyone have a specific question?
Maybe this is for the sheriff's office instead. Gilad Melendez with 11 Alive. In the park itself, we know this was a remote area. Is there anywhere more specific, whether it's a trail number or area of the park where this happened? And then we saw some posts from agencies just reminding people of ATV safety. If somebody could speak to that, including the capacity of this ATV if they went over capacity.
Okay, I'll let the sheriff speak to that. Any other questions for me? Thank you.
That's a very large outdoor park area there, and when I first heard of the accident, I assumed it was on one of the steep mountainsides, but actually it occurred on what used to be an old railroad bed that's basically flat and in a slight curve. What was the rest of your question?
Yeah, just for rating ATV safety. I don't remember if it was.
I'm sure that it's not recommended to have nine people, especially young children, in a razor. Not using safety harnesses, because I mean those vehicles are used off-road, and if used improperly and not if you're not following the manufacturer's instructions and guidance. I mean, I have a ATV that I use for work, and it can be very dangerous to travel the wrong way on those.
Do you know if any of them were in safety harnesses?
I was told no one was harnessed.
The other ATV vehicle that witnesses said they may have collided with, anybody hurt from that, or do you know how many passengers were in that?
There were two passengers in the other razor. They were not injured. They basically had struck on the front passenger side, and it busted their wheel and turned it sideways. And of course, they were stopped, and they did try to render aid to the victims there.
And just one thing I wanted to clarify with the victims, I know you don't have their status do you know, is everybody who was brought to the hospital still there?
I really can't relate to that, no.
Sheriff, any indication that alcohol was a factor?
Let me just say, Jerry, that in any accident investigation with toxicology, you know, it's best to wait till you get your results back to say that, yes. Thank you.
I have a question. What safety rules were in place at the park at the time of the incident, and were those rules enforced by the park?
The park does have rules, and I'm sorry, I can't quote the rules. But, you know, I don't know if they were aware of what was going on, or, you know, we have rules in our parks, and we have people who think they can smoke marijuana and leap from one rock to the other. And, you know, it usually involves somebody doing something inappropriate, you know, or unsafe. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Paul and Sheriff. So to address a couple of the things that that was asked, the side-by-sides, you know, I'm not familiar with exactly what kind of seating arrangements that was going on in the side-by-side. As the sheriff alluded to, the report is, or the information being provided is that no one was wearing a harness or restrained. You know, there's nothing that says that everybody that gets in a side-by-side has to be restrained. That's one of those things that personal responsibility has to be taken to ensure your own safety and the safety of those that's in your care. We can make laws, we can do things. There's a lot of laws that's out there that are made to try to deter crime or deter things that happens, but that's also the reason why we have criminals, is because criminals don't obey laws. I'm not saying that anything criminal happened here. I'm saying that those rules that were there, it's almost impossible for somebody to look and monitor their actions every minute of the day as it goes on. This is a 46, 47, 4,800 acre park. It's very, very large. And there is an amount of personal accountability that comes in there that people have to make sure that they follow for the safety of themselves and others. We wish and we hope that everybody would follow the manufacturer's recommendation or the rules that are at the park. But unfortunately, in almost every accident that happens, whether it's at the ATV park or whether it's at Cherokee Rock Village or whether it's at Little River Canyon Falls, almost every accident that happens is somebody has a lapse in judgment or they do something that is unsafe that leads to someone being injured or killed. So, you know, we can go and we can what if this to death, what if they done this or what if they done that, but you know, the fact of the matter is it happened. We go back and we look at how we can correct that in the future, how we can educate the public, how we can advocate for things to become more safe than they already are, and how we can improve our emergency response and emergency services there. I was contacted by Senator Jones earlier today, who says that he has been contacted by a lot of media outlets asking for a statement, and he had called and said that he knew that we were doing this press conference and asked if he can come and speak. And while our operations, emergency operations throughout Cherokee County, we don't, politics doesn't play a factor in our operations. Our operations is led by dedication and skill and experience of our first responders and our leadership here within the county. I think some of the media outlets had reached out inquiring about some legislation that was introduced in the past. I told him that we were having this conference at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and that he was welcome to come. Senator Jones is here. He's going to address a few things, and you know, we appreciate his continued support for the enhancement and betterment of public safety, whatever that may be. So, Senator Jones, I'll let you say what you want to say.
Do you have a question for you real quick?
Yes, I'll answer it as soon as I get back.
Thank you, Sean. Once again, my name is, I want to move this over just a second here. My name is State Senator Andrew Jones. I represent District 10, which includes all of Cherokee County, and I'm going to read a prepared statement. My wife, Summer, and I were deeply saddened by this Labor Day weekend's tragedy at Indian Mountain ATV Park, and we are keeping the 9 victims from Georgia and their families in our thoughts and prayers. As emergency responders have reported, multiple ambulances and 4 medic helicopters were called to the scene of this fatal accident. I personally heard how this incident overwhelmed our local emergency responders. These responders dealt with unfamiliar terrain, logistical confusion, and spotty communications coverage on a busy holiday weekend. They also had the tricky task of coordinating 4 helicopter landings. And for all these reasons, our first responders deserve our highest commendation. I have long been concerned about unofficial reports from the park of rampant drinking and driving under the influence, virtually zero enforcement of the park's own rules, and an inadequate emergency response plan in coordination with first responders. These are just a few of the reasons that I authored SB 234 to provide reasonable safeguards for Cherokee County ATV parks. Unlike almost every other business in Cherokee County, there are virtually no regulations at Indian Mountain ATV Park. As we saw this weekend, operating these machines can be dangerous and even deadly, and public safety is paramount. Much of this could have been avoided. If SB 234 had been enacted, contracts for emergency services, liability insurance information, detailed maps of the park would have been required to be submitted to the county. These maps would have included access points, boundaries, maps of the trail network, creeks and streams, road crossings, and traffic routes to the park. All this data would have helped to streamline emergency response on a crowded holiday weekend and helped to unburden our first responders, allowing them to reach the victims in a much more timely manner. As many local residents know, only 2 ambulances regularly cover the entirety of Cherokee County. Indian Mountain ATV Park has hidden behind cries of overregulation, seemingly as a way to avoid the accountability of any new safeguards, safeguards that were sorely needed on this Labor Day weekend. Similarly, the elected officials that blocked this legislation and those who continually shirk the responsibilities that they have and turn a blind eye to safety issues surrounding the park have a lot to answer for. Defenders of the park continually compare Indian Mountain ATV Park and Weiss Lake, for example. These comparisons talk about the need for personal responsibility and attempt to absolve the park operators of any responsibility. This is a false comparison. Weiss Lake is not private property, but Indian Mountain is private property traversed by the public. People don't pay admission to go to Weiss Lake, but they do pay admission to go to Indian Mountain ATV Park. Law enforcement is present and rules are enforced on Weiss Lake. However, there is no law enforcement presence at Indian Mountain. Thus, it falls to the park to enforce its own rules. So when 2 adults and 7 children, after paying admission and signing liability waivers, climbed aboard a single ATV designed to haul half that amount of people, it would stand to reason that a park staff member should have intervened. When children as young as 1 year old were crammed into an ATV, why didn't the park step in? Morally, I cannot understand how Indian Mountain ATV Park should bear zero responsibility. While it remains to be seen as to whether alcohol was involved in the incident, I have concerns as to whether rules against the consumption of alcohol, including, for example, cooler checks, were being enforced by the park. We do not need to forget that Cherokee County is a dry county. At least one lawsuit is ongoing regarding Indian Mountain ATV Park currently. Given incidents like this, I would not be surprised if additional legal action followed in the future. In the end, I have faith that our justice system will sort this out. And finally, let me say this. I've been asked repeatedly to bring legislation again to regulate Cherokee County ATV parks like Indian Mountain. However, without the 100% unconditional support of Cherokee County's elected officials to assist me in putting reasonable safeguards in place, there is no point in bringing ATV park legislation during the next session, and I will not do so. I would urge concerned citizens to reach out to your local elected officials and share your thoughts with them if you want that to change and if you want any meaningful reform to take place. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Jones. There is one thing that was mentioned during that I do want to correct. Cherokee County, the ambulance resources that are available inside Cherokee County in its entirety is more than two. So Cherokee 911 manages the contract for our EMS provider. Currently, we have three 24-hour trucks, a 12-hour, six-day-a-week truck, and a net truck that is in full operation within the county. In the southern end of the county, Piedmont Rescue covers a small section that includes the Indian Mountain ATV Park. And while I can't say for that small section exactly how many ambulances are available in the Piedmont Rescue operation, I do know at least two trucks are in operation in the city of Piedmont that is providing coverage to that small portion of the south end of Cherokee County. But in its entirety, we have roughly six ambulances on a daily basis that can provide services within Cherokee County. So I do want to make that clarification on our EMS services.
And what would be the response time for all six of these? Because there's only three that's 24 hours. What about the others if something happens?
So right now, the average response time countywide for Atrium is around 11 minutes from dispatch to on scene, and that's countywide.
And if all three of those are like dispatched out to other hospitals, how long does it take to get them from Rome to here?
So we have a resource management plan that's in place. When we get down to one truck, we pull mutual aid resources from Georgia, and they're staged in the county. If we get down to zero trucks that are primary for Cherokee, we're pulling that stage truck on in to cover that operation. So like I said, the average response time countywide is roughly 11 minutes from dispatch to on scene. Piedmont Rescue and Atrium Floyd EMS provide very good service to the citizens of Cherokee County. If they didn't, then we would be looking at other replacements for them. But we are extremely pleased with the EMS response throughout Cherokee County.
And I have just a couple more questions than I'm done. Has the park had previous incidents of serious injuries and fatalities in the past? And if so, will those be released for the media to cover for public records?
I will have to go back and look to see how many injuries or fatalities that we've had at the park. I do know there are some, but I don't have an exact number on that. But if you will give us some time over the next week, I can provide that. Is there any more questions?
Probably be for the sheriff or maybe the coroner. I know earlier in your Facebook post, still notifying next of kin at this time. Are you able to release any of the victims' names or just any more information about them?
Right now, due to the sensitive nature of it being children, juvenile children, we're not releasing any of that information until we can ensure that everyone has been notified that needs to. Once that notification has been made, We will, in coordination with the coroner's office and the sheriff's office, release the appropriate information. Anything else? Again, our thoughts and prayers remain with the family and the victims that were injured, and we pray for comfort and a speedy recovery for them. Thank you.
You did a good job, didn't you?
Hey, sure. Good job, sir.
I'm coming in just for a minute. I'll turn this off.